Today we continue our reading of the Gospel of Mark. One of the characteristics of the Gospel according to Mark is that we believe that it was written by Mark to Roman Christians. The purpose of Mark's storytelling was to build up and encourage the faithful during a time of rising suspicion and persecution. With that in mind, let us hear the word of God from Mark 4, beginning with verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boats, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe, and said to one another, "Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy God, your Spirit moves through the words of Scripture to bring them to life and to resonate their truth. Now move through us so that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I hear these words from Mark, I cannot help but mourn with the people of Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, the people of Charleston, South Carolina, the black community in the United States, and the Church Universal. The news of 9 people murdered during a Bible study is heartbreaking, maddening, and horrific. The realization that these lives were taken as an act of terror, an effort to reinforce racism so that other people can live in fear and intimidation, is devastating. The Bible is a book of people trying to make meaning out of heartbreak. It is full of stories of displaced communities, tragedy, and suffering. It's about people and communities responding with hope in the most hopeless situations, from slavery in Egypt, to exile, to crucifixion, to martyrdom. Today's scripture reading from Mark 4 is no different. We may not see it immediately. It's easy to simplify this story to being a scene as a part of a travel narrative. However, it's more than that. This is a complex story offering comfort and hope to the people at risk of perishing. Some people consider today's scripture to almost be a parable, full of meaningful images that show us something about how God is at work in the world. Jesus had just finished teaching in parables, and firsthand accounts of Wednesday night share that the Bible study was on Mark 4 and one of the parables. And after Jesus finishes, he says, "Let's go across to the other side." The other side in this story is not just a geographical location. The other side is crossing a social construct that breaks barriers between people. On the other side of the Sea of Galilee are Gentiles, were people who did not share Jesus' identity as a Jew. As a church and as a culture, we have another side we need to get to. We have other people to meet. We have social barriers to cross that won't be easy and require talking about things we don't want to talk about, like race and violence. What is going to get us to that other side? The disciples then put Jesus into a boat and began to cross the sea. Mark was probably written about 30 years after Jesus' death. One of the predominant images for the early church is a boat, sometimes imagined as an ark. And this was a familiar image because of Noah's ark, and it evokes images of God's providence and care in the midst of uncertainty and persecution. And as they crossed the Sea of Galilee, the water became tumultuous. As they began to cross to the other side, a great storm of wind came about. Waves beat into the boat. The boat was filling with water. Storms, especially those at sea, were not always attributed to God in the ancient world. There was something about the sea that made people uneasy, as if God had no control over it. It was thought that the storms came up on the sea were potentially demonic. The sea was emblematic of chaos and disorder. And that water was filling the boat. Even the sanctuary, even the places that we hope are safe, are sometimes assailed. Mark was writing around the time that the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. This sense of persecution was on the rise for a minority community during Mark's time. And that brings us back to Wednesday night. After an hour of Bible study, a white 21-year-old male opened fire and killed 8 African Americans at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston. He was welcomed as their guest. As the oldest African-American church in the South, outside of Maryland, this congregation's affectionately called Mother Emmanuel. Some of its founders came from a nearby Presbyterian church, leaving because of the racism in the Presbyterian church and its support of slavery. Slavery led the Presbyterian church to split in 1861 and was not reunited until 1983. At noon on Friday, people from all sorts of different churches in Asheville gathered at St. James AME. Their pastor, the Reverend LaPrince Edwards, preached. He's from Charleston, and his aunt was in the building that night. Had she not had another meeting to be at, she would have been in the Bible study. As he spoke on Friday, he shared some of the history of Emmanuel AME Church. And when he shared this history, I kept thinking of this boat in Mark 4, God's church trying to cross over. And I kept imagining the water coming into the boat, the storm, the gale winds, the terror. And the congregation he described is truly an ark. The waters have come into that boat time and time again. It has faced winds and storms, and time again, with a deep trust in Jesus Christ, it persists. The church was founded in 1816. In 1822, the church was burnt to the ground because it was at the center of a plot of a slave rebellion. The waves battered the boat. After the church burnt in 1822, they rebuilt. However, in 1834, South Carolina passed a law banning black churches. Water is coming into the boat. For 31 years, Mother Emmanuel worshiped in secret. They met in each other's homes. They met in discreet locations. I'm pretty sure Jesus was with them all along saying, "Peace, be still." After all, Emmanuel means God with us. It wasn't until 1865, after the Civil War, that South Carolina recognized them as a church. Jesus Christ always recognized them as the church. In 1872, they moved to their current location and built a new building. It was demolished in an earthquake in 1886, and it had to be rebuilt again. On June 17th, 2015, 9 people were murdered in their parlor. The victims were leaders in their community in all sorts of capacities. State Senate, pastors, libraries, speech therapy, track coach, custodian, recent college graduates, choir members. They were parents and siblings and grandparents. When their boat was flooding, the disciples went looking for Jesus, and they found him asleep on the stern. And the disciples begged of him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The great storm was turned into a great calm. Crossing over our social divides and barriers is going to be tumultuous. The winds will push us around. The waves will batter our church. But the storm is not calmed until Jesus speaks directly to the forces that assail us. We too must be direct. We too must address things that are difficult and painful. If we refuse to acknowledge the pervasiveness of racism in our world, especially in our churches, the great storm will never be a great calm. We'll never be able to cross over the social divides that keep people separated. And Jesus knows that we are better together than we are apart. Admittedly, there's something rather unsettling in this passage of Scripture. Mark leaves us in the middle of the sea. How do they eventually cross over? We're not told. Does the storm rage again? How did they get all the water out of their boats? How did they repair their spirits and their vessel? The next scene of Mark tells us they eventually cross over. But we are stuck. How do we cross over to a new unity in Jesus Christ? How do we cross over our racism? How do we cross over our enmity? And the profound truth expressed by the calming of the Sea of Galilee is in part that the wind and sea obey Jesus, though it may be more significant that the one who the wind and the sea obey is beside these people the entire time. Jesus does not leave them. Jesus is present with those who suffer, even to the point of death. Violence against black churches in the United States has had a long history. We've already gone over some of Mother Emmanuel's history. After one bombing of a black church that killed 4 girls and has scarred many other people who are still living today, a great preacher spoke at their funeral. In a real sense, these girls have something to say to each of us in their death. They have something to say to every minister of the gospel who's remained silent behind the safe security of stained glass windows. They say to each of us, black and white, that we must substitute courage for caution. They say to us that we must be concerned not merely about who murdered them, but about the system, about the way of life, the philosophy which produced these murderers. That was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Birmingham, 1963. He was responding to the bombing at the 16th Street Baptist Church. And these words still speak to us today. Between 1990 and 1996, 72 black churches were burnt, firebombed, and vandalized. On the day that the country first elected a black president, an African-American church in Massachusetts burnt to the ground. One of the reasons African-American churches have been the target of violence is that the church, at its best, is a place where people truly experience freedom. The church, at its best, is where we are on the boat with Jesus calming the great storm. The church, when it's not at its best, perpetrates the system, the way of life, and philosophy that supports racism. Robin Boylan shares her experience of that freedom as a black woman. If ever there was a place where black folk believe themselves to be free, it is within the walls of the church. There we dance, cry, pray, praise, shout, sing, and testify. The doors are always open. Despite the personal challenges I have with the church, it has remained a beacon of hope, a place of healing and possibility, a refuge in times of trouble, and a safe space for the lost souls and people in need, regardless of race. As a non-church-attending black woman who identifies as a Christian, I refuse to relinquish my faith to this tragedy. I refuse to allow hate to be the end of the story. I refuse to concede that we cannot, as a people, carve out spaces for each other and make room for one another, including difference, within and without the walls of the church. We have to maintain hope that we're going to cross over. Jesus knew that we are better together than we are as apart as a people. We are going to have to get on that boat that crosses to the other side. And Jesus is going to help name those winds and waves that assail us. It may seem impossible or futile, but when it happens, we will be filled with awe. We will say, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey?"